When we try to communicate Torah, especially to beginners or those who are not yet committed, there is a great value in learning the Torah from the Sfarim, so that what's communicated is a continuity of Masorah going back to Sinai, which is the truth. If someone just talks, the impression, the psychological impression created is the speaker knows all these things. And if they sound logical, so then he's a logical person. But there's no obvious connection to something that came before him. Even if you take out a sefer, a chumash, a translation, and you have the Talmidim read together with you one pasuk, and then talk for 20 minutes. But the impression, which is the emes, is that the chokhmah that you're sharing with them comes from the sefer. Furthermore, it creates a continuity with other people who are teaching Torah, also from Sfarim. They heard you explain something in the Sefer, they'll hear him explain something in the Sefer. Now, Shane Cain, if you said something intelligent, they don't know that they'll get something intelligent someplace else. And you can use the Sfarim, the Chumash, to communicate ideas on every different subject and of every different level of depth. It's still important that it should come from the Chumash. I want to give you some examples. Examples of the idea, and also examples that you can possibly use, which I have used, and I think to good effect. First one is in how to look at Chazal, how to appreciate Chazal. In the Akedah, the pasuk says, "Shvu lechem po machamor." Chazal say, "Amedom lechamor." Now you read that. It's very difficult to understand where Chazal are coming from. And if a beginner reads that, it reinforces the widespread impression that, I won't even say it. But at any rate, show it to a Talmud or a class of Talmudim and point out that it's not exactly obvious where Chazal are taking their point from. And then look at the Parsha of Bilam. Bilam says to the first Shlichim, stay overnight. Let's see what Kadosh Baruch Hu will tell me. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him in the morning, "Lo seleichim ahem, lo sa'oras ha'am ki baruchu." Don't go and don't curse. The second shlichim come, says, stay overnight. Let's see what Kadosh Baruch Hu will say. "Im likro lecha bo anashim, kum lechitam." They came to call you, go. Then it says, "V'akum Bilam apoker ve'yachvur shcham asasono ve'ilich b'sorim uav v'yich rafa lukim ki olechu." He gets permission to go, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him that he goes. The reader is mystified. Okay, maybe it wasn't right of Bilam to push a second time. I told you no, and then you asked again. But in the end, he got permission, didn't he? And if he got permission, so then why is Kadosh Baruch Hu angry? The answer is pshat in the words. Because the first time, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, "Lo seleich imahem," don't go im. And when he gives permission, he says, "Kum leich itam." S. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't change his mind. What's the difference between im and s? S means with also. Halachti ito, right? Esi Yaakov, Bahu Mitzrayim. But the difference is, im means I identify with you, I believe in you, I trust you, I cooperate with you. S is a superficial relationship. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Lo seleich imahem," you cannot go with them for the same purpose, for the same goals, for the same values. Second time he says, "Kum leich itam." You want to walk on the same road? Yes, that I give you permission. But I don't give you permission to go im. So then what does it say? Vayelech im sarei moav. So Bilam is not doing what he got permission to do. He's doing what he was forbidden to do. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him. Pshat, on the surface, if you know the Hebrew. Lesson number one, don't trust the English. That's the lesson to the Talmidim. Don't trust the English. Can't trust the English. Now you go back and you say, what happened in the Akedah? What did Avraham Avinu tell the Narim? Shvulachem po im hachamor. Oh, im. That already is peculiar, but it isn't enough. Just the use of him isn't enough. But if you go back to Psukim, this my Chavrusa pointed out to me. If you go back to Psukim, it says, Vayeshkem Avraham b'boker ve'echmosh chamaro vayikach es shnei na'arav ito. So now look, in Pasuk Gimel, when you're relating the Narim to Avraham Avinu, it's S. Two psukim later, when you relate the Narim to the Chamor, it's Im. Look at how Chazal read the Pasuk. Look how carefully, look how precisely Chazal read the Pasuk. So if with a person, it's S, and with a Chamor, it's Im. You're being told they're associated with the Chamor. Furthermore, it makes the Pshat, Pasuk Gimel, beautiful, because the Pshat, it says like this, Vayikach eshnein ha-ravito, comma, V'yes Yitzchak b'no. Why is Yitzchak outside of the ito? Surely they all went together. Why does it say, V'yikach eshnein ha-ravito, and Yitzchak, but not ito? Baruch ha-chama. The S here means a superficial relationship, not a sharing, not an identification. You couldn't put Yitzchak in together with the two Narim. So here you have clean, precise pshat in the psukim, and Chazal come out. I say to them, when you read a Chazal and you don't see a reason, you have to know. Chazal are not going to tell you all the reasons. Who's going to think to go from Yekeda to Bilam? Chazal. They're going to think. And until you study it for 20 or 30 years, it may be it'll take that time till it comes to you. There's a beautiful Sforno in Parshas Bikurim. Come to Yerushalayim, the pasuk says like this, Uvasa el kohen asher yeh bayamim ahem, v'amarte elav, higadeti hayom Hashem Elokechem, ki vasi el ha'aretz. So there are two kashas. You should come to the kohen asher yeh bayamim ahem. You have no other alternative, right? You can't go to a kohen that's not in your days. And then it says, higadeti hayom Hashem Elokechem, I'm declaring today to Hashem your God. Now these two questions, a beginner off the street can see in the verse. Give them the English and ask them, what problems do you see or what questions arise to you? Hashem Elokecha, they all see. And if you ask them, what words in the verse could you just erase and lose no meaning? Just wipe them out. Hashem Yoyegiye b'yomim ahim. Contributes nothing. Now, this foreigner points out, you know, that it says the same thing by the Shofet. And Parashat Shoftim. El Shofet Hashem Yoyegiye b'yomim ahim. Their Chazal say, maybe you'll think that my shoftim aren't worthy. In my time, the shoftim aren't on a par with the shoftim of a previous time. So what does Chazal say? Yiftach b'doro k'shmul b'doro. Your shoftim are the shoftim for your time. But says this foreigner, how is that going to work with Bikurim? What does the Kohen have to do? Take the basket, wave it, and eat it. So now, the vort is this foreigner's vort. I'm just adding some extra background, but it's all his vort. The second question answers the first question. What does it mean to say Higarti Hayom Lashem Elokecha, to Hashem your God? We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, and no one else. The Medrash says, David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why only the Avos? What about me? I also want to be included. You should be called Elokei David. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I tested them and they passed the test. David HaMelech said, test me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, gave him the test of Hashem, and David HaMelech failed. What's the vort here? What does it mean that you're called, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Elokei Ploni, and that's a mila for Ploni? Now here's the deepest point. We use words in Lashon HaKodesh to describe both HaKadosh Baruch Hu and people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tzaddik and people are tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chassid, people are chassidim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yashar, people are yasharim. We should think about that. How could it be in Lashon HaKodesh, the Lashon of Emes, that the same word could be used to describe the Boirei and the Nivra. But it's Lashon HaKodesh. So it must be true. It must be possible for a human being to have God-like traits, God-like characteristics. Then, as you think of it, we do have a mitzvah, one of the Targum mitzvahs, Mahu Avato, this is the most Elokim, to have midos, midos Elokios, divine attributes. Mahu Rachum, Avata Rachum. Think what Chazal is saying. Mahu Rachum, Avata Rachum. Why shouldn't we say, Mahu Avata? What do you mean? I should be like God? Why should I be like God? On the contrary, I'm as different from him as an infinity. No, but Chazal say, Mahu Rachum, Avata Rachum. So you can acquire for yourself tchunos, characteristics, which are really God-like characteristics. Okay, some people do this more and some people do it less. Imagine a person whose life was shot through with God-like characteristics. Then by looking at that person, you could learn about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What is a Kodesh Baruch Hu like? Look at Avraham Avinu. Look at what he did. Look what he stood for. Look at his midos. And you'll get to be able to understand something of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, there were three people in the history of the world whose lives were so consistently and so deeply shot through with these divine characteristics that a Kodesh Baruch Hu enabled their names to become part of his designation. You want to know who I am? Look at Abraham, look at Yitzchak, and look at Yaakov, a Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, and to see something of who I am. There were only three people who had that distinction. Okay, that's absolute, but relatively, it's also true. Some people have it more than others. So now, says the Sforno, when you say to the Kohen, Hashem Elokecha, Hashem your God, what you're saying is, I see a Kodesh Baruch Hu in you. You have more Elokus in you than I have. I can learn about a Kodesh Baruch Hu from your midos. That's what you're saying. When you say, I got it to you. Hayom Hashem Elokecha. And now the Sforno says, you can use the same logic as with the Shofet. Who says that this Kohen is someone that I can learn from about a Kodesh Baruch Hu from? If I lived in the times of the Chafetz Chaim and he were the Kohen, I would run to place the basket at his feet. But George Katz from down the street, why should I look at him that way? And here, the same message that you have in the Shoftim, Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmul Bedoro, you're being told your Kohanim are not accidental. These are the Kohanim of Kodesh Baruch Hu chose for your door. And if you look carefully at George Katz, you'll see that you can learn about Kodesh Baruch Hu from him. That's why you say, Hashem Elokech. And that's why it says, Asher Yiyev Yomi Mahem. You might think your Kohanim are not worthy, your Kohanim are worthy. Now, it's a beautiful pshat in the pasuk, and look at the amount of hashkafa you can put into the explanation of it based on the Sforno. Adam and Chava eat from the tree. They hide. They're hiding from the Borei Olam. What kind of Chava mean is it to hide from the Borei Olam? Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Cain, "Ei hevel achicha, lo yadati Hashem erachin ochi." What kind of havamina does hevel have? Does Cain have that he can get away with lying to a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Here, there's something very deep, but you can actually share it with beginners. You've heard of tzimtzum. Forget everything you've heard. Now, listen to what the Ramchal says. You're talking to a child. He asks you, Abba, I turn on the switch and the light goes on. Why does that happen? You studied chemistry or physics in high school. You could recite to him what you had in your high school textbook. Will he understand the word you say? You have to be mitzamtzim yourself to interact with the child in a way that the child will understand. So you lower your vocabulary and you use analogies from his experience and you don't say it exactly right because he can't understand it exactly right. You understand it on the level that a 7-year-old can understand. Tzimtzum means a Kodesh Baruch Hu relates to us in a way that we can understand. He doesn't come to us out of his infinity, his Ein Sofiyut. He comes to us in a way that our mind can understand. He chose to operate according to rules which he explains to us, which we can understand. Ramchal says in the Derech Hashem, why are there 10 days of din? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Kodesh Baruch Hu is everywhere, knows everything. I can respond instantly to everything we do. And instantly in terms of the whole past, present, and future. He could, but if he did that, we wouldn't have a clue what was going on. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to understand. So like a parent with a child, he reduces his interaction with us so that we can understand it. Okay. Each interaction then has to be understood as a tzimtzum, a reduction of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mahus, its reality, to a level that we can understand. Different interactions might have different reductions. Now, what does it say in Gan Eden? It says, Vayishmu'u is called Hashem Elokim mishalech bagan l'ruach hayom. They heard the sound, voice, of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu strolling in the Gan. That's a localized manifestation. They heard his sound over there. So they say to themselves, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. He's everywhere. He fills everything. I'll take it back. His Ratzon is being buried everything every minute. Say fills and is at least the wrong associations. Of course, he knows what's happening everywhere. You can't hide from the Borei Olam. But he's manifesting himself over there. So maybe he's not going to use his omnipresence in this interaction. Maybe the symptom of this interaction is such that he's not going to use the fact that he knows I'm here. Of course he knows it, but he's not using it. So they hide. And guess what? The Kodesh Baruch Hu goes along with it. He doesn't come to him and say, Adam, I know where you are. I'm the Borei Olam. No, he says, Ayeka. As if he doesn't know. Yes, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not using his omniscience in this interaction. So he asks him, and Adam has to identify himself. And he asks him, why did you eat from the tree? So Kodesh Baruch Hu is consistently interacting with him without using his omniscience. Hevel is Kain, the same thing. Ei Hevel Achicha. So Kain says, oh, he's asking me. Of course he knows. There's no question that he knows. But he's not using his knowledge. If he's not using his knowledge, maybe I can get away with a lie. Don't know. And Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, I'm not letting you get away with that. I will use my knowledge. But at least Kain's Havamina is a sensible Havamina. Same thing with Bilam. Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to him and asks him, who are these people with you? So Bilam says, okay, this is a low-level interaction. It's an interaction where Kodesh Baruch Hu is not using his... If so, if I try twice, maybe I can get away with it. And indeed, after the Malach appears, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, Leich ima anashim, because Kodesh Baruch Hu actually does change the anhaga, because it's a low level interaction. At any rate, this is a yisod in all of Hashkafa, and when you're reading the actions of people in Tanakh, where they would otherwise look blatantly foolish, childish, and ignorant, you can have now an understanding of the Havamina that they're calculating. Oh, and the one very important application, this is at the Sneh. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, when I go to Mitzrayim, they'll ask me, Mashmo, Ma'omar Alehem. They're going to ask me what his name is. What shall I say to them? Well, what's the problem here? He'll go, the Jews will ask him, what's his name? Will he recite a name that they know, so he knows it the way they know it? Will he recite a name they don't know? What will he prove with that? And indeed, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them a name that doesn't appear anywhere else in Tanakh. So what do they get out of the name that they get? What are they asking for? Now, if you were a group of small Talmidim, I'd ask you for an answer. I hope that most of you have guessed. They'll be asking Moshe Rabbeinu, what is the type of interaction that's going on in Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the rule? What type of tzimtzum and what type of manifestation is it? Where is it coming from? If he gives the name Elohim, the name of Din, so then it'll be maybe Din on the Mitzrim. And the consequence will be, if it's Din on the Mitzrim, we don't have to do anything to deserve it. They're just being punished. If it's the name of Rachamim, then it's Rachamim for us. Rachamim has to be deserved. So then it will be totally in what we do. They want to know what kind of manifestation, what kind of interaction, what kind of process will it be. And what do they get? They get Eke, and they get Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, Elokei Avram, Yaakov Shlachani Alechem. Two answers, which means it's a complex event. Some of it is based on Eke. If you've read the Das Tfunis, you know what that means. And some of it is based on the Shavua to the Ovos, and there are different aspects of the event. So, the Gaon of Vilna says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was machbi the Avoda to cause them to cry out, because even though there's a Shavua to the Ovos, that doesn't mean it has to apply to them. What did he say? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu after the eagle and after the Meraglim? I'll wipe them all out and I'll make a nation out of you. Who says this group is the one that's going to receive the promise to the Avos? You have to be mishtayech. You have to be related to the avos. So there's extra avoda to provoke a cry to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which makes them connected, and then the shvut of the avos can apply to them. So says the Kohen of Vilna. That's the name that I'm the God of the avos. At Kriyas Yam Suf, it says, Matitzakelai, now is no time for tefillah. And the Sforim say, Batik Italia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pushing this through. Don't misrepresent the event by making it appear to be a response to your tefillah. It has nothing to do with your tefillah. It has nothing to do with it. It's come from a much higher source. That's Eke. At any rate, you understand now the question that they would ask him and the answer at the Sneh. All of this is based on the idea that the interactions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us are limited interactions. Even elements of Nistar can be linked to Pshat. The Gaon was famous for saying that in Pardes, Pshat comes last. That means you only appreciate the Pshat after you have some insight into the deeper levels. Let me share with you two that happened to me, which proves that I don't know how to read Pshat. The Hanochash Haya Orum Mikol. Let's say exactly. We read that. Now let me ask you. I have an orange. And I tell you, this orange is so juicy, it's juicier than all the stones in the street. It's oranges and stones. Stones aren't juicy. You can't praise the juiciness of an orange by saying it's juicier than the stones. The Nachash was smarter than all the animals of the field. You know, the Nachash was smarter than an elephant. Smarter than a tiger. Was smarter than a cow. What kind of qualification is that? The Nachash could talk. The Nachash could reason. The Nachash had intelligence. So why do you compare it by saying the Nachash was smarter than all the cows? Says the Ramchal. Not based on the Pasuk. I mean, that he didn't mention the Pasuk. But it's obvious that that's how he read it. Says Ramchal, based on his sources in Nistar, that in Gan Eden, all the animals talked. They all talked. They all could reason. And the Nachash was smarter than all of them. Now, when I read that in Ramchal, I thought to myself, why didn't I ever see it in the Pasuk? The Pasuk is clear. You can't make a comparison like that unless the other animals have intelligence. Unless the other animals can talk. Similarly, the Ramban says, how was the Nachash punished? Agachoncha selech. You lost your legs. Slithering on the ground. That's what the Torah tells us. But notice that the Nachash in Gan Eden could think and talk. And today, the Nachash that we have can't do that. Now, what is the more serious loss, the more devastating loss? Legs or reason and speech? Obviously, reason and speech. Says the Ramban, from this you see, we're not getting the whole story. There's a whole element of the Gan Eden story that's hidden from us. And he doesn't say what it is. He just tells you. You have to know. You're not getting it. And again, until I read the Ramban, it never occurred to me to ask. You're worried about the legs? What about speech and reason? From seeing what the sources we have in the more Nista elements, you come to appreciate the Pshat. And then you realize that what the Gaon said is, I don't have to say we realize what the Gaon said is true in spades. He said it's true in spades. But you can see it sometimes, that only on the basis of an insight into Nistar can you appreciate what the Pshat is on the Psukim. One last idea, and then I'll be finished. When Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, Paro, after the Nes takes place, Paro challenges him. Mazo sasisoli. Lama he got it to likishtahi. Lama marta chosi yakachos ali isho. Paro challenges him. You lied to me, you tricked me, you put me in a terribly compromising position. And Avraham Avinu doesn't answer. Doesn't say anything. Now, when the similar episode takes place with Avimelech, so Avimelech challenges him in the same way. Challenges him. No answer. Avraham Avinu doesn't answer. Then Avimelech says, this Vayomer Avimelech means a separate speech. What did you see that you did this thing? And now Avraham Avinu gives him an answer. Why does Avraham Avinu not answer Paro and not answer Avimelech's first challenge and yes answer the second challenge? Because in the first two challenges, Paro and Avimelech one are saying to Avraham Avinu, you're a criminal. You've done something terrible. Avraham Avinu's position is, if you think you're in a position to condemn me, there's no point in talking to you because there's nobody home to listen. I have a strong, devastating message for you, and if you aren't open to hear it, it's no point in talking. And now, it's important to, for us to know it and for them to know it. Don't fight every battle. Don't respond to every challenge. First, assess, is the person challenging you open to hear what you have to say? Has he a balanced mind? Is he unprejudiced? If not, pass it up. There's no point to it, just like Avraham Avinu passed it up. But then Avimelech said to him, Moraisa means this. Number one, I know you wouldn't have done it if you didn't see something. I credit you. You're a person who's committed to ideas, to values, to purposes. You must have had something in mind. Number two, I don't know what it is, and I need to know. Tell me, what did you see? Avraham Avinu says, oh, you know you didn't see. You know that I have something that I see, and you want to know? I'll tell you. And what does he tell him? Rak ein yiras Elokim b'mokam hazeh v'haraguni al-dvar ishti. What does the word rak mean? It means the only thing you're missing is fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you'll kill me. What did Avimelech say in the dream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hagoy gam tzadik ta'arog. B'som levavi uveniki on kapay asisizos. This person is not a savage. This person has a civilization, a philosophy, a law, a morality. He has a whole culture. He knows about tzaddik, and he knows about nikayon kapai, he knows about tom levavi. Avraham Avinu says, you're right. Rock! Ein yiras Elokim. And your human civilization will not save you. You'll commit the most atrocious crime because rock! Ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. And then you could say to the Talmidim, do we have any example of this in the modern world? Any example of an extremely cultured nation which committed the most atrocious crimes because Rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh? That's as contemporary as the Holocaust. The Pasuk of Avraham Avinu is as contemporary as the Holocaust. I hope this gives you some examples of how to take it from the Sefer, and with the Sefer open in front of them, and let them read the Pesukim for themselves, and to see that Torah Elokim Chaim comes ultimately from Sinai. Even what we know about the Avos comes from Sinai, and we are a Hemshech from Sinai to the present.